With spring comes new hope. Anticipation and expectation of things to come, a new way of looking at things. Particularly when you think of the baseball season. I heard that Chicago is building a new stadium, but they're keeping it hidden. Because if the Cubs find out where it is, they'll try to play there. And so all of us may have our favorite baseball teams, and we have those perhaps who are seen as kind of the enemy, so we pick on them and tease them. For example, I read about how the Dodgers shortstop walked out in the street in front of a bus. Luckily for him, it went right between his legs. There was an elementary class who was doing their geography lesson, and they were doing it in relationship to baseball. And so the teacher asked, well, where do we find the Twins? Minnesota. How about the Rockies? Colorado. Where do you find the Diamondbacks? Last place. But it's a week into the season, everybody is filled with hope. As you get into the spring, you see your team differently than before. You might think that this is the year. This is the year. New opportunities, a new year, a new season. To see things differently. So it is with the resurrection. Now we see things differently. Differently than ever before. In ways that we had never anticipated. It changes who we are, how we see one another, and how we see God. Jesus meets His disciples, and He greets them by saying, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." The emphasis on peace is that God give you everything that is good. So what is this good that Jesus speaks of then? What is this peace? Many ways that you can interpret good and translate good. You may ask, well, what do I get then? Since God wants everything good for me. Because in fact, Jesus is giving. But along with His giving, He's giving us a commission. Think of this image for a moment of Mary Magdalene at the tomb encountering Jesus. The realization of who He is. And then apparently grasping Him strongly. And Jesus says to her, "Do not hold on to me." Now, there's been much speculation about what Jesus means by this. But one of the things I think is true is that Jesus is saying, "Do not clutch on to me for yourself. Do not just hold on to me for yourself." And He commissions her to go. "You have encountered me. You have experienced me. You have seen me. Now go. Don't just focus on yourself." And to further enlighten us in our understanding, Jesus says, "Go to my brothers." And here He associates the disciples as brothers. And a relationship as brothers. And being a limited time frame, Jesus says, "Because I'm going to my Father and your Father." And the impact of that statement, "My Father is your Father." The uniting power of Jesus. And here we are commissioned to be the body of Christ. Much is given, much is received. We come in contact with the risen Jesus. We experience Him, we encounter Him, we meet Him time and time again. We're given this understanding And then we are told to go. We are sent out. In Jesus there is enlightenment, support, and strength. And that then is to be shared. Much is given so that we can be a gift. Peace, Jesus says. May you experience all goodness. And as the Father has sent me, so I send you. That God sees us experience goodness in being sent. A young man had a job to make deliveries throughout the day, and much of those deliveries were time sensitive. So then, when it became a practice and a habit of him to be late reporting to work, his boss, of course, became concerned and told him he had to fix it, straighten it out, do something about it. So the young man went to his doctor and was given some medication, told to take this medication before he went to sleep at night. So he took the medication. And then, much to his surprise, he woke up. He woke up earlier than he had anticipated. He woke up earlier than he needed to get to work. And so he decided, well, he had a leisurely breakfast and he had a pleasant drive to work. And he got to work and he said to his boss, it worked. And his boss says, well, that's great. But where were you yesterday? May you have peace and goodness. But then, do not fail. Then, do not fail to go out. Do not fail to go as you are sent. But yet we are sent with the assurance that time and time God gives to His followers. And Jesus says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And He breathed on them. Throughout Scripture, we see time and time again God calling His people and then giving Him power and strength in order then to do as they are sent. And here you have a wonderful image of receiving the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the gift of life, much as the creation story itself, where the breath of life was breathed into humanity. They were given life by God. John in his Gospel emphasizes that this is the first day of the week. The first day of the week. The first day of the new creation that is taking place. The creation of which you are a part. The creation in which the breath of life is breathed into. And you are created for a task. That the Spirit will carry you, that the wind will blow you, and that you will be guided as you go, as you are sent, to go where you would never go on your own, to go where you may have never anticipated or imagined, but to go as you are sent. And so we celebrate that guidance, that direction, that power, and that strength. Guidance is important. There was a young man who was visiting a town in the Midwest, and he decided to go to Lutheran congregation, and there he worshiped, and he joined the congregation afterwards in fellowship. He saw three young men about his own age sitting at a table, and so he decided to join them. And so then, in order to kind of break the ice, he said, well, I have a great Finnish joke to tell you. Now, being Finnish, I can say Finnish jokes. And one of the three young men said, well, before you say that Finnish joke, before you kid the Finns, I want to tell you that I'm Finnish. And these are my two brothers. And I want you to know that I'm a football player. And my brother here is a black belt. My other brother is a wrestler. So he said, do you still want to tell that Finnish joke? The young man decided, well, no, I don't think so. I don't want to have to explain it three times. So as we find ourselves sent and as we find ourselves going, we recognize that we do have a guide. We do have a guide. But we are sent and we do go as we are entrusted with the power to proclaim God's forgiveness. And this breathing in of new life and this new creation. But through the resurrection we see now differently. When we look at Thomas, we have a wonderful example given through the Gospel of John. Often we just focus on how Thomas doubts because he has not yet seen Jesus. But really, the story sets up a wonderful confession. Because then when Thomas, as the other disciples, finally sees Jesus, experiences, meets Jesus again, he proclaims, "My Lord and my God. You are my Lord and I will serve you." There is a complete sense of surrender. But in this account, there is a message of encouragement. If you remember the introduction to John's Gospel, it says that he was in the world, yet the world did not know him. But now in Jesus, God comes to us. And we know Him. We know Him. And John says in his Gospel that this is written, "For those who have not seen yet Jesus will come to know." That those who have not met Jesus will encounter Him. That those who know God through Jesus, the Messiah, may have new life. Peace be with you all. May you experience every good thing. But the good things that God emphasizes for us to experience seem to be that we are sent, that we are to go, that we are to do good. We are to share goodness. Amen.